With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
To the Championship Roundtable podcast. We are back with an update about the return of the Championship. I'm joined by James Vickers today, and I am, of course, Jake, who is normally a guest but have decided to host in Louis' absence. So, James, welcome back to the podcast, and we're finally about to talk about football, which is nice.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace to be not having the hosting responsibilities this week as well. So, I'm going to sit here with my feet up, let you do the legwork, and I'll chirp in when needed.
Yeah, I thought I'd step up and do some hosting for a change. But first thing on the agenda, of course, is the return of Championship football. The EFL released over the weekend that it would be coming back on the 20th of June, which would be the same weekend as the full set of Premier League fixtures, which will be played as well. So it seems like they're linking up with the Premier League. They did say that the date was provisional and subject to strict guidance and requirements set out by the government. They're still not absolutely confirmed, but it seems like it is going in that direction, especially with a lot of other sport coming back and the Premier League aiming to come back that weekend as well. It's been met with a lot of anger in some clubs. A lot of fans are excited about the return. Other clubs are cautious. It seems to... I think the main thing from this statement, it took a lot of people by surprise that it came out when it did, and it seems like clubs are expecting a few more discussions and maybe a later date to come back. But it has been set out then. Do you think that's the right time, or do you think that it's been rushed a little bit?
Yeah, I think I'm sort of in the middle with it. I think it has been rushed to some extent. You look at sort of, I don't want to get too bogged down on talking about sort of the virus, but you look at our figures sort of as the UK compared to the rest of Europe yesterday, and we had more deaths yesterday than the whole of Europe did combined. So it seems too soon for me. I think Germany came back at the right time because their sort of infection rate was a lot lower. And you look at the way they've monitored it. There's not been any positive tests since the football resumed in Germany. Whether we can keep that up here, I know the positive testing per sort of set of tests that they've done is lowering all the time, even though there's been two positives at Preston, who I support. It does seem to be heading in the right way. I think more sort of meetings and talks should have gone on about it. There's, I think, QPR and Sheffield Wednesday have been quite vocal against the decision to rush it back. And as I mentioned with Preston, there are two positive test results, one being Jaden Stocky. The other player is set to be announced today. I think they have to keep it in sort of the strict confidentiality sort of ruling. So I think even though it broke on Tuesday, they're not allowed to announce it till today. The worrying thing for Preston, though, is that positive test came back after the first full contact training session, which I don't know how they're going to sort of work that if the squad has to quarantine for 2 weeks as per guidelines. And if that's the case, we're recording this now on the 4th. You know, the players say they're going to quarantine today or tomorrow if they're not already. That leaves us, you know, a couple of days before the first game, potentially, with no full contact training. Obviously, the majority of clubs will have only had a little bit of contact training, but it does put you at a disadvantage straight away. You look at, to sort of go back to German football, Dynamo Dresden in the second division in Germany had a similar situation. First round of testing, they had a few players test positive. They had to go into a quarantine, and in their two games back, you look at them and they just look so far behind the rest of the teams that they've played. So I do worry for them and potentially Preston as well, sort of for my own club's experience. So yeah, I think it has been rushed back to some extent. I can understand the decision to try and bring it back because clubs are sort of desperate for that television money now. Obviously, there's been a large gap that they won't have had sort of much income, if any. It's slightly different to the Premier League where that money through sponsorships and everything is a lot greater. So I can understand the decision to get the Championship back up and running, but I think it's probably a couple of weeks too soon, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's obviously very time sensitive as well, which I think some people are ignoring. Because if the Premier League is going to get their season finished by the end of July, and then the FA Cup final going to be played on the 1st of August, you can't really have the Championship going on much further than that. With clubs being relegated and promoted, you sort of got to match that timescale. And I think League One and League Two are going to have to do the same. With there's still a few problems in League One with what to do to end the season. So it's all got the Premier League making the stance that they did and coming back and investing in the tests and all that has put pressure on the EFL to get done in a similar time frame. The QPR statement, which you mentioned, they were quite strong in their opposition. They said that they're appalled by the decision. They oppose it. There was absolutely no consultation on the matter. They were expecting meetings with the doctors working group in the Championship, and they didn't happen. And it seems that it's being pushed through without the relevant precautions being in place, which is a bit of a worry. The EFL have come back and said that a lot of clubs did contact them to try and agreeing with the decision, and that it was a well thought out decision. But it doesn't look great when one of your member clubs comes straight out and sort of criticise it in the way that QPR did, and we've seen Gary Monk come out and say that the restart date is unfair. So it's a difficult one. I think it's right that they're trying to get back and finish the season in terms of sporting integrity, but it is there's always going to be some opposition, whatever decision they made, and it seems that they've gone to match the Premier League, which makes sense. I think it's right that they come back. Maybe it's a little bit premature, but the timing is there. It's either now or never, and they've got to try and sort of do it as quickly as possible. It's quite encouraging. Some of the testing results are sort of slightly higher in the Premier League at the moment, but it's good that they're getting the testing done now and isolating those that need to be isolated. And you, of course, mentioned the Preston stuff, but something I just quickly wanted to mention before we moved on to our next few topics were what happens with season tickets now. I think this is quite a big one with fans on social media. Those that would be owed a refund, they want a bit more clarity on that. We've seen Sunderland in League One come out and say they're not going to give any refund and they're going to give a streaming pass instead. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down. How would, as a match-going fan, James, what would you like to see clubs do to sort of limit, I guess, the financial impact on themselves, but also give money back to those that need it?
Yeah, I think in terms of, obviously, Premier League, they sort of should be fine. You know, I'd imagine the gate receipts for Premier League clubs is very small in terms of their income, in terms of sponsorships and everything else. So I think they'll be fine. In terms of the Championship, Preston put out a statement saying that, you know, while they can understand that fans want the money back and they're open to giving them the money back on a sort of games left at home basis, so sort of pro rata in that, while they can do that, they highlighted the importance of sort of the gate receipts to the club, which I thought was quite refreshing. There's not a lot of transparency from football clubs nowadays, and Preston came out, you know, hands held up, saying this is our main source of income. While obviously we will give you the money back should you wish it, there's, you know, this and this that we can do instead with the money. So you can either leave it in the club and then sort of go again next season, if obviously fans are allowed back inside and season tickets are allowed on sale. There's the option for a streaming pass that comes with commentary, and I thought that was, you know, to use my own club as an example, quite refreshing to see that sort of honesty and transparency. Sort of to go back to Germany, Schalke yesterday, I retweeted something where they are refusing to give money back to the Sunderland issue that you mentioned there, Jake. They're only giving money back to fans if they can prove to the club that they are in desperate need of the money. So someone else had replied underneath his sort of response to Schalke, saying that he'd sent them proof that he's on a hardship payment at the moment, and they'd refused to give him his season ticket money back even then, saying that, you know, he was already getting some hardship payments. So because he had some money coming in, they were refusing to give his season ticket money back on that regard, which, you know, for a team that's in the Champions League more often than not is absolutely outrageous. I can understand more so your Championship and League One and lower clubs. As I said, that is that main source of income for them. So I think as long as clubs are transparent with it, personally, I'm not a season ticket holder this year, but if there was that option for me to keep the money in the club and get the streaming pass and help my club, you know, stay in business and let them keep paying the players, I'd be more than happy to do that. I understand that everyone's situation is different. So if people want their money back, again, I can completely understand that as well. So I think it is on the clubs to work with the fans. There's not going to be anyone who's in exactly the same situation as another. So taking it on a person-by-person basis, you know, is key. Streaming passes, obviously, you mentioned I do like to go to the games. I'd much rather be there, but you know, if there's a way to watch Preston and sort of support them from home in the coming weeks and hopefully maintain that playoff push that we have got, you know, I'll be more than happy to do it that way.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you there with a lot of the things you say. And I think all clubs should make it available for fans to take their money back if they should want to. I think it's slightly different to say a refund for a holiday like many people would have been receiving in the last few weeks, or a refund for a season ticket on a train or something, because you know every fan is emotionally connected to their club, and if they were able to keep supporting their club without completely disadvantaging themselves in the process, I think most people would do that. But of course, refunds should be available. But there's also the interesting thing that you mentioned with the streaming passes that could sort of increase the revenues at clubs during this time, because there's only a certain amount of fans and you can get into a stadium at once. A lot of clubs have fans in different parts of the country, maybe thinking more of the bigger teams than this, but I'm sure all clubs have their supporters that can't go to match days for whatever reason. Given that there's probably going to be some relaxing on broadcasting regulations, and the iFollow service might be available for fans on a more consistent basis, there could be an increased revenue stream there in selling your the remaining games for a fair price and then getting revenue in that way. So even if you are refunding a portion of your season ticket holders, you might be able to make up a lot of that shortfall elsewhere. So what do you think would be available in that? Would you support clubs selling the remaining games to supporters on iFollow? And do you think that that's something that the EFL and I guess Sky Sports as a broadcaster would agree to? We've seen in the Premier League that Sky Sports have made a lot of the games available on free-to-air, which is a good step. So it seems that they're willing to do their bit for clubs and football fans as a whole. So it might be possible. So I think it's definitely something that I would support. But do you think that that's going to be something that will be possible? Do you think that clubs would be restricted to only giving these to season ticket and members?
I think, yeah, definitely they should make it readily available to everyone. I think, you know, the games that, say, Sky and BT have the rights to, obviously maybe a little bit harder. They'd have to work out a deal there. The majority, though, of Championship games, apart from like your Leeds's and West Brom's, aren't really sort of readily available on Sky. Only really like the midweek ones where there's Champions League, where you get them on the red button. So there's definitely a market there for that. You know, we were saying off air that if obviously a match day ticket at Preston this season's £25 for an adult in the town end, which is the end behind the goal, I don't expect them to be charging, you know, that much per game. If it was sort of £5-6, that kind of price, which tends to be what the iFollow price was, you know, I'd be more than happy to pay that. I'm still supporting my team. I'm putting money into the club when they need it. And at the end of the day, it's cheaper than going to the game as well. Obviously, I'd much rather be at the game. But yeah, the iFollow, I think, is definitely the way to go with this. There's been, you know, talks, as I said, from Preston about making the games available to season ticket holders with commentary. So I think, you know, while they are wanting to make that available to season ticket holders, so they are more inclined to keep the money out of the club, you know, if you just make it available to them, it does isolate quite a lot of the fan base who do want to watch it. So if there was different perks that came with it, say if you weren't a season ticket holder, you just got the game without any commentary, for example, and you just sort of heard the on-field noises, you know, maybe that's the route to go down, and then the sort of season ticket holders enter their season ticket number or something, and they get commentary, you know, so it's a little extra perk for having that season ticket or something like that. That's just me sort of thinking on my feet there. So there's got to be sort of a balance between the two. Obviously, if I was a season ticket holder and I was paying the same price for it as someone who was a non-season ticket holder after the club had said that, you know, I'd have access to it, I may be a little bit sort of put off by that. So, yeah, if there was like a different tier to it, I think that could work. But I think, yeah, as you mentioned, there's definitely a market in the current climate for having them readily available to stream. And I think, again, that would probably bring more money into most clubs as well. There's you know, away games, for example, that a lot of fans can't go to. You know, when we play sort of down Reading, for example, we take about 800. But then if we have an away game in Blackburn, and for example, we take about 5,000 or 6,000. So, you know, away games especially, there'd be that opportunity for fans to watch it who may not necessarily get the chance to watch it on a regular season. So, yeah, definitely, I think there's a market there for that, and it's one that the club should hopefully be exploring and make available to the fans.
Yeah, I guess the main opposition for that would be the increase in online streams, which is a inevitable thing that comes with streaming things online behind a paywall, is that people find a way on broadcasting it themselves.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I think that, as you say, it's slightly different if it's your own club. I think that, although it's one thing streaming a game that's on Sky Sports, it's another thing streaming a game that's been shown on your own club's website. Fans are more likely to want to pay their bet towards their own club rather than maybe pay up for a Sky Sports subscription where you might see, I don't know, Luton 3 or 4 times a season. It's not really worth it, but if a Luton fan has the option to pay, I don't know, yeah, as you say, like £8-9 a game for the rest of the season, they're more likely to do that, I think, rather than look for the illegal streams. But that's probably me thinking on my own. You know, I'd rather if it was my club, I'd rather pay the money to the club than I would stream it online. But yeah, as you say, everybody's different. But I think that's definitely an avenue for the EFL to look into. Again, with the broadcasting in the Championship, it's not quite the same as the Premier League, where you know, in an average Premier League weekend, you get 5 games on the TV on BT or Sky. In the Championship, you get 1 a weekend, maybe a couple in the midweek. If there's a midweek round of fixtures, you don't get as many. So it's not like the broadcaster would be missing out as much as they would in the Premier League, per se. So I think that's definitely something they need to look at. And in this time, the EFL, as every sporting league, as every business will be doing, will be looking for ways to create new revenue streams. And that's definitely one. So I'm hoping that's something that we hear more about in the coming days, and that there is that service available for fans should they need it. But yeah, just moving on now to a more specific topic, which I guess it covers a few wider concerns for clubs as well, is that it came out this week that Lyle Taylor would didn't want to sign an extension to play for the rest of the current league season because he is a free agent at the end of the year. There'll be a lot of interest in him following how well he's done this season with Cholton's position in the league looking precarious. He's now 30 years old, so he's not got a long career ahead of him, and he's sort of at the top of where he's ever been, scoring a lot of goals in the Championship. So he's decided, according to Lee Bowyer, that he doesn't want to return and risk getting injured in the remaining games. And I think a couple of others at Cholton, Chris Solly is another that said the same. So it's a difficult situation. It raises the concerns of sporting integrity. Of course, I sympathise with Lyle Taylor and other players in a similar position. But at the end of the day, Cholton are third bottom of the Championship. They're in the relegation zone. He is their best player, their top scorer. And for him to decide that does hugely damage their chances. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that Taylor is right to make that stance? Or do you think that there should be more pressure from the EFL and the PFA for players to honour their contract to at least the end of the current season, because it's not the fault of the club why the games are going on longer than expected?
Yeah, I think about two minds of it. On the one end, I can understand him from a personal point of view wanting a potential move to a bigger club. We were linked with him at one point, and sort of seeing the way he's sort of gone about it, I think, you know, the Cholton fans especially, obviously they've had a bit of a hard time this season with the way results have gone. There was all the issues at the start of the season as well. And I think for a player to come out and say that, granted, obviously, the contract situation with the way the season's gone is unprecedented. So, you know, we don't know how many other players would act if they were in a similar situation. But I think for him to come out and say, you know, you could understand more so if the team was in mid-table with no chance of getting, you know, playoffs or relegation, if they were just sort of sat there with not a lot to play for the end of the season. I may be more sympathetic to that. But for a player who, you know, is in a relegation fight, to come out and say, you know what, I don't fancy the rest of this season in case I do get injured, I think is a big slap in the face to the club who've backed him, the manager who's given him, you know, opportunities. And while he is their best player, I don't think, you know, one man's bigger than a club. So I think it's probably best for both parties that he does move on. As a Preston fan, and we've been linked with him now, even though I think he's a fantastic player and scores goals in this division, I'd be put off wanting him to come to my club if you see that is the way, you know, he acts. It seems he's more so focused on him as an individual rather than, you know, what he can do for the club. And, you know, if it was me personally, I'd be willing to play and try and get the club out of the relegation zone, and then, you know, you earn your move to a bigger club. So I think it is a bit of a slap in the face for Charlton. I can understand why Charlton fans are annoyed with the situation and Lee Bowyer as well. But, you know, on the other hand, I can slightly sympathise with Lyle Taylor in the fact that he has had injuries this season. He is getting sort of on in his career now, as you said, Jake, he's 30 years old, and, you know, potential there for one last sort of big move to earn a bit more money. But it doesn't sit right with me in the fact that, you know, he's played all season, and then now when they need him the most, he's come out and said, you know what, I don't fancy it anymore. So yeah, a bit of a one that can be debated. You know, people are going to sort of sway both ways with it, but, you know, in my opinion, I think there should have been more there for the EFL to say, you know, potentially playing the rest of the games, because yeah, it just wouldn't sit right with me if that was one of our players doing that.
Okay, so fortunate timing on the recording of this show, there is an article from Lyle Taylor that's been an interview with Lyle Taylor has been released on Sky Sports to give a bit more context to his situation and decision. I'll read a few of the quotes now. He says that I'm gutted at the way it's finishing, but I don't expect people to care. I know that once the damage is done, it's irreparable, and I don't really expect any sympathy. We're the first ones able to go back, so that's difficult for footballers and football clubs. My reasons and concerns stem from my knee injury. It plays on my mind. It makes me think that what would happen if I had an injury now that threatened the rest of my career. I'll be honest with you, it scared the life out of me. That's my honest reasoning. I know it wouldn't sit well with people, but it's been a very hard decision to make. I want to play to keep this team in the league. We've worked so hard to get here, but there is something in the back of my head that says if you get a serious injury, the chance you've worked and dreamed of since you're 6 years old, it's gone. I'm not 26 or 27, I'm 30 years old. The way I play, it puts me in positions that I could get seriously injured at any time. The full interview is on Sky Sports for anybody that wants to read a bit more on that, but they are the main comments to come out of it. So it seems that it's been a difficult decision for him, and he understands the criticism he's facing, but his situation is slightly different because he's had an injury in the past, and he's getting older, and he's worried that that injury could be made worse if he does come back, and there's a chance that he could suffer a career-ending injury. So, you know, there are two sides to every story, and reading those quotes does make me feel a little bit more sympathetic towards him. He's obviously played the majority of career down in the lower leagues. He's now got into the Championship, got 11 goals for the season, which is a good return for anybody, really, and he'll have interest in him from other Championship clubs, so it's understandable. But as you say, it would sit badly for me if it was one of a player at my own club. But you've got to take the human element into it as well. He's got a career. He's going to get a big move, or at least a big move in comparison to the rest of his career this summer. Does he really want to damage that or put that at risk by playing on? So yeah, it's a very difficult one, and there'll be more players in a similar position. But, you know, it when you look at what that could mean for Charlton, they dropped into the relegation zone just before... Well, we finished playing before the coronavirus stopped the season. They're 2 points behind Hull and Wigan and Middlesbrough, 3 points behind Huddersfield and Stoke. There's a lot of teams down there, and they've got a real good chance of staying up. But losing key players like that it will really hamper them, and they're definitely going to be one of the teams that have suffered most for this stoppage and the decision to return to play now. But then again, they would have been relegated under any other metric that was used. So I guess for them, they want the football to return. They've just suffered a major blow by the timing of it and the restrictions caused by player contracts. So yeah, it's going to be a difficult one. Just before we wrap up, James, just want to get your thoughts on who do you expect will benefit from football coming back and the stoppage? Do you think there's any team that at the bottom or at the top that will benefit from it? And on the other hand, do you think there are any teams that are going to suffer aside from Charlton? Because I think we've covered them now.
Yeah, I think sort of seeing how it's played out in other countries so far, I think the teams with larger squads will definitely benefit. Obviously, the games have been squeezed into a sort of a tighter time frame, and there's not been much of like a pre-season, so to speak, with the break that we've had. So definitely the clubs with the larger squads, so you look at the likes of your West Broms and your Fulhams, I think will fly. I think in terms of sort of relegation zone, you look at Luton, who've got, you know, a tiny squad. I don't think it's going to help them at all. You know, Charlton, we just touched on. So I think squad size is going to be key. Those teams that have managed their squads well all season, who've given sort of everyone a run out, will benefit as well. So that makes me quite confident with Preston. We've got one of the sort of larger squads at the moment. There's quite a few players who, you know, would normally get in the match day squad who get left out sometimes. So if there is, you know, as there's been talk of having, you know, everyone in your squad available on the bench, and then you've been able to bring in five subs, similar to how you have like a World Cup or a Euros, where sort of you have your starting 11 and then the rest of that squad is available on the bench, I think will help. And, you know, in the long run as well, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, potentially looking sort of further forward when fans do return, maybe that would be one route to go down, because it gives, you know, younger players who, you know, never get a look in, the opportunity of maybe they're not coming onto the pitch, but it gives them the opportunity of being around the match day squad and, you know, learning from that. So I think we will see sort of over the coming weeks squads, you know, really dip into the resources on the playing side that they have. I think more players will get game time that wouldn't have got game time if the season was just to have run its course as normal. So I think there will be that benefit from that side. But yeah, to go back to your question, I think definitely the squads who have sort of more players in them will do better, just purely for the fact that they're coming off quite a long break with not much match sharpness and match fitness, and to be able to rest those players and rotate them well will stand them in good stead. But yeah, I think that would probably be sort of the main area where a team will do well. In terms of home and away performance, you look at Germany, the home advantage seems to have gone out the window. I think only 18% of games in Germany that have been played at home have resulted in a win for the home side at the moment. So home advantage seems to definitely be gone. So you could see a team that's just outside the playoffs at the moment who, you know, do well at home normally sort of drop down the table, and vice versa, teams who are accustomed to playing well away shoot up the table. So it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out. And I don't think, you know, if you were looking at it with fans in attendance, that games will go as you expect them to. There's been a lot of surprise results in Germany so far, and I expect that to continue in England as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it does go when it does return. A couple of points I just want to mention before we wrap up. If you go down, you mentioned Luton have a small squad, but they've also made a managerial change in this break with Nathan Jones coming back. So we don't know what impact that's going to have. That could potentially have a positive impact. So that's one to keep an eye on. They're currently 6 points off survival. So that, you know, they'll think they've got a chance now. And above that, we've got Hull City, who were on an absolute dire run of form before the stoppage. 4 losses in a row. They were dropping like a stone, which was mainly caused by the exit of Jared Bowen and Kamal Grzycki in the January window. So interesting to see if they've managed to, if McCann has managed to work on things, find a different way of playing, analyse where it's been going wrong. It'd be interesting to see if they come back and show an improvement, because they're the team that you'd think are most likely to drop into it if Luton or Cholton or Barnsley managed to put a run of results together. And moving up the table, I agree Fulham are going to be one of the ones that benefit. So I could maybe see them putting a challenge to try and catch West Brom and Leeds, although the 7 points to Leeds and 6 points to West Brom looks a little bit big with only 9 games to go. Leeds, obviously, we've spoken about them so much in the past that sometimes the Bielsa style of play can take its toll on players, but they might come back with a new lease of life, given they've had 3 months off to get rid of any niggles, sort of work on their fitness and get up to peak fitness levels. They've been using the running track that they have at the training ground. Even throughout the lockdown, they were, where it was only one person going at a time, they've been able to use that. So they've been able to get really fit during this this stoppage, so they could come back and completely just roll over teams, which would, I guess, would be a nice way for them to clinch promotion. Although on the other hand, you're going to have games every 3 or 4 days, so be interesting to see how many injuries a team like Leeds might pick up. Given the style of play they have and not having that match sharpness that, you know, nobody can replicate, getting match sharpness through playing games, even through running or using watt bikes or anything like that. So that's one to keep an eye on. And obviously, I think the most exciting thing will be that race for the playoffs. Preston will see in 6th place at the moment, but go down to QPR. There's only 6 teams separating all the teams down to 13th position. So that's definitely going to be one to keep an eye on. And you might even have Brentford and Forest dropping down into that as well if they can't get back to form quickly. So it's definitely going to be an interesting end of the season should all the games get played out. But yeah, with that, we are out of time. So James, would just like to tell anybody where they can reach you or anything you're involved at the moment, which I think is plenty. Let them know now.
Yeah, I've been a busy boy over the last few weeks. You can find me on my Twitter, which is @_JamesVickers. I'm obviously on this show. Our page is @ChampionshipPod. I'm doing work for Footy Accumulators at the moment as well. I'm doing the Bundesliga betting show, which will also merge into a Premier League betting show when that comes back as well. That's with Will Perry from BBC Sport and Alan McAnally, who is on Sky Sports, ex-Bayern Munich and Aston Villa striker. So give that a watch. We have a sort of a good laugh doing that each week. That'll be on my Twitter. And then I've been doing sort of my own little podcast bits here and there as well. So that'll all be on my Twitter as well. So yeah, @_JamesVickers.
Yeah, as James says, you can get the show on Twitter at Championship Pod. You can also get the Premier League show on Twitter at EPL Roundtable. They released an episode yesterday covering the return of the Premier League. So if you're interested in that, give that one a listen. We also have a Bundesliga show on this channel now, which you can get on Twitter at Bundesliga Pod. I think James was on that a few episodes ago. So if you want to hear more of James and his passion for the Bundesliga, check that podcast out. And you can get me on Twitter at JigJapan2ends, where I post anything I do. But yeah, with that, we are out of time. We'll be back again probably next week with a further update when the EFL releases more news. But just thanks so much for listening, and we hope you join us again next time.